Welcome and happy belated new year to all the listeners of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. I'm your host, Dustin. This is going to be a special episode because we're going to catch up a little bit and do a little bit of a Q&A. So without further ado, let's go. So welcome everyone to episode 47, as the intro stated, it's 2019 and I haven't published anything in the last little while. Just want to wish you all and hopefully you all had a safe New Year's, holidays, however you spent them, however you celebrate them. Hopefully they were good to you and yours. Hopefully Santa Claus was good to you if Santa is meant to come to your place. It was really good for me. I should just catch you guys all up to speed of where I'm at and what's all going on. So holidays and such, I did not intend to actually be away from making podcast episodes of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast for this length of time. It's actually been a month since my last one came out. Which, again, thank you so much for those who have listened to the episodes. The old episodes are getting substantial amounts of play. Thank you so much for going back into the content, checking it out from where it all started. It's actually very funny that the first ones are probably maybe my worst. I've only listened to them a few times over, and they're cringy for me. I think I've gotten better as a podcaster. But thank you so much for going back, checking out the old stuff, giving them a play, and also hitting up the sponsors that sponsor the podcast with some ad revenue there. Just once again, thank you so much to Anchor again for hosting, distributing, putting the tools in the creators' hands to make content and product and put it out there. So without further ado, just that should be all said. Just family time, holidays, sort of got caught up in it, took some time off, sort of needed to refocus and recenter a little bit. But I feel really good in terms of it feels good to get going again. Been on the bike a heck of a lot, currently enjoying the Tour de Zwift. I don't know if you as listeners are currently doing that. It's 9 stages of Zwifting. So the virtual platform that allows you to engage socially with other folks, various terrains, various challenges. Super, super fun. There is some heavy hitters just putting out the gauntlet and just putting the smackdown on everyone else, which is super fun. But for myself, I'm just really riding it to finish it. I'm in the second phase of my base build, so I'm still not even close to where I want to be fitness-wise. But just looking back at the data from where I am now versus where my fitness level right now is where and has surpassed where I wanted it to be for last year, if that makes sense. So I'm already off to a great start, feeling good, feeling fit, doing strength training, trying to eat well, all that good stuff that comes with New Year's resolutions and goals. A bit more on those in a second. Feeling fresh and feeling really good and motivated to get some content out there. Future plans for the podcast are to document a little bit more day-to-day recording. And I actually did attempt that, and it's very comical. I will not be sharing those efforts with you because they were some technical difficulties. The audio levels were so out of whack. I tried to salvage it. It did not work out. So I am currently looking at new or better handheld audio devices that, one, give me a little bit longer battery life than what I'm currently experiencing. Two, longer recording time. meaning where it's recorded to, meaning the memory card device, and three, just better two-way conversation. So I'm thinking something that has mic outputs as well, so that way I can actually have microphones set up with the guests and talent that I hope to actually have on the podcast very soon. There is a small running list of hopefully returning people from previous seasons, but also some new voices and new conversations to be had coming up with folks in and around the bike shop. My goal is to actually have people within the industry, people on the periphery of the industry, meaning patrons, but also reps who, I guess sales reps that I've established relationships with. I'm also hoping to get some pro athletes actually on the podcast. I'm currently working behind the scenes on that, and that's actually what I spent some of my time away. But also want to get more of a documentarian type feel to some of these episodes coming up. It'd be great to have like long form conversations similar to Rich Roll, Joe Rogan, but also sort of keep them fun and fresh and sort of have that vlog sort of feel, in that there's a bit of a thematic feel for each episode, similar to how Casey Neistat does vlogging, and even Peter McKinnon, Canadian boy, who also does some really great stuff. So I just want to sort of give you an idea of what's to expect from the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast in future episodes. That's all goals and ambitions. Just thought I'd get you all up to speed. So let's get to the next segment. It's going to be goals and resolutions coming up. So usually with the turn of a new year, a new page, a new you, comes also with new goals and new resolutions, whether you want to execute on them or not, or if they're actually practical. Those are all conversations to have, I guess, at another time. But I'm curious if you actually have any goals and resolutions. The ones that I've encountered with folks coming into the bike shop over this holiday season is the first one that everyone is one of the most popular, for sure top three, is that they want to get more fit and use a bike to do so. And that's really, really exciting. There's a lot of interesting products in the works, in the pipeline coming out. Now, I'm Northern Hemisphere based, and it's currently wintertime and it's bloody cold. So there's a few options to definitely sort of partake in that. For a bike shop sort of perspective, you can go with a beater bike that you have loved previously, or that you may have found that is the right size for you, and then put the lowest amount of investment into the bike. I'm actually hoping to get two riders / co-workers that I work with who have done this, and they actually have that in their collection for their winter ride. Where I reside, it is very cold as well as very snowy, so those are just very much things to keep in mind for when you build up your beater bike, how to sort of take that into response. And then also there's the rise and popularity of fat bikes, and fat bikes often have massive 5-inch wide tires in a lot of cases, I've noticed this year. And they're very, very popular in that you can take those tires down to very low PSI, that's pounds per square inch, and actually ride on very slippery surfaces, very uneven surfaces, meaning snow, snow drifts, snow dunes, all that fun stuff. Great for trail riding in the summertime as well. So it's a very versatile platform of bike to ride. And we have been selling quite a few of them. And then for those that are not wanting to necessarily ride outside, layer up and all that fun stuff, or have winter fun times outside. I'm one of those people too. I don't ride outside at all during the winter. Is to get yourself a smart trainer, or a trainer or a set of rollers, and work on your aerobic fitness and maybe get a little bit stronger in muscular endurance wise for the coming fair weather seasons. And that's my choice for how I spend my winter. And I cannot not recommend going with a smart trainer option, just because it is a little bit more engaging for the amount of time that you might be spending on there. And then also the fact that it pairs up to third-party applications that can be easily used, such as Trainer Road, Zwift, KinoMap, and there's a few other ones actually that I saw coming on the rise. Don't forget Sufferfest. I should not be forgetting Sufferfest. Give them some love. Those are all great options for the winter time to engage and actually spend time inside, sort of help alleviate the cabin fever if you don't plan on winter riding, or just the inconvenience of layering up. I will be probably having an interview with one winter rider who is a good buddy of mine, Mr. Rudy. See if he would like to be on the podcast and get maybe his thoughts about layering up. And then also too, I want to do a follow-up podcast episode with Calimino, who did the Far Ride Transcan bike ride back in March, and just follow up with him, because those who ride on the East Coast have a different way of riding all year, and so it'd be great to sort of compare and contrast what's all going on winter riding wise for East Coast Canada versus Central Canada, meaning the prairies, or the central province itself, meaning Manitoba and Saskatchewan, how we do it a little differently than everywhere else, I would say. And maybe tips and tricks on layering up for the weather itself, because I know East Coast is a little bit more wet, and in the prairies it's a little bit more dry, but there's more Arctic temperatures, so you do have to be careful about that as well. Another thing that a lot of folks want to do is eat well. Now, I can't necessarily advocate for what you should be eating. Wintertime, let's just say produce selection kind of sucks for us, because it's all trucked in, because we don't necessarily have native species of oranges and citrus and apples and fruit even in the wintertime. So it's a lot of make do with other items. So I would say I'm actually favoring more root vegetables, especially more wintry type seasonal produce, just to maintain nutrition value. But also too, I've started incorporating a little bit of probiotic natural based cultures. So items like kombucha, as well as something with a mother or a SCOBY based probiotic food. So one is organic apple cider vinegar. I've started taking that actually with a little bit of honey diluted all in water before bed. It's a bit of a tough drink, by the way. I just choke it down real quick. It's not a enjoyable drink, to be honest. But I slam that back before going to bed, and yeah, I've actually been finding it's been helping regulate to a degree my precondition of irritable bowel syndrome. I suffer from IBS. I've had the affliction for 20 years now. Or the symptoms of it for that long. It's debilitating at times, but I'm really trying to focus this year in particular on controlling my IBS, as well as eating well and getting fit. And yeah, so those are just my resolutions. I'm curious as to hearing what yours are gonna be. So yeah, if you have any questions and comments, I'd love to hear them in the comment section below. The nice benefit of the Anchor app is that it does forward me any comments that you have on any of the platforms, and it allows me to actually read and respond and actually interact in kind, which is really sweet. and I do appreciate them. So if that's not your cup of tea, you could also direct message me on Instagram. And speaking of, that's actually how I got most of the questions coming up in one of the next segments further on in this episode. Another thing on my list for this upcoming year is to be on my bike a bit more and to get more photos, because I do want to make another photo book this upcoming year. It's one of my big things. I missed out on doing that last year, mostly for the fact that I wasn't riding as much. For whatever reason, I don't think I was terribly excited to be riding my bike all that much. Don't know the psychological reasons as to why. I think I was working too much to enjoy riding my bike. So external factors, we'll call it. And yeah, I'd just like to take more photos. I really enjoy taking photography, or taking photographs, I should say, and getting more visual display and documenting my bike rides. I really enjoy doing that. If you're following me on Instagram, you're probably noticing that I've been keeping a bit of a trainer journal where I'm trying to just give insights as to each workout, if I've like succeeded in accomplishing the target of what the workout was about, or if I fail, which happened yesterday. I won't touch on that. I'll let you read the post. But yeah, it was just one of those things that I found. I'm finding that I'm enjoying sharing my ride trainer life with all of you. If you are following me on Instagram, thank you so much. Truly appreciate it. If you're not and you're curious, I should have my profile name. Or I'll just say at Dustin, DustinWHT is how you can find me. And that's where you'll find actually a lot of these ride journals. I'm listing them by the day of workout. So I think I'm at day 25, which I'm going to do today. So another resolution, and I think the previous clip just cut it short a little bit, is to travel a little bit more than I did last year. I didn't really get out as much as I intended. That was mostly due to work commitments and this and that, how much dollars I had in the bank account kind of thing. But also, so I would like to, of course, go back and hit up the Badlands gravel ride one more time. See how that all goes. Change out the sort of record a bit more of the audio and the shenanigans that occurred therein, but also to record a bit more of the rides themselves. Get that audio for you. That's actually been a goal from last year that I still want to carry forward and continue on as well. But also hit up friends on the West Coast. There's some rides out there that I would really, really like to hit up. Especially Victoria, since I found an old photo album that I went, that my grandmother actually had, from when we, meaning my grandmother, my mom, and myself, all went to Victoria when I believe I was 8-ish, just young whippersnapper. And we toured Victoria and all that fun stuff. And it really made me want to go back and check it out since I haven't been in that length of time. So it would be pretty cool to see that and maybe ride my bike in and around there. But also visit friends out in Alberta, but also do possibly the Peter Sagan Charity Fondo that takes place in November in California. I think that would actually be a great little escape going into the fall. And get some riding in before winter comes in and, you know, meet a 3-time world champion. I think that would be pretty darn gnarly. But then also, I want to make one big goal for the podcast is to turn the podcast into and really strive to make it a weekly commitment. So that way there's consistency. There's something for all of you to enjoy on a weekly basis, with the overall end goal to is to turn it the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast into a daily podcast. Now, whether that stays as a Bike Shop podcast and doesn't pivot to some other kind of content, we'll see. However, I'd like to try and keep it as a daily podcast for sure. Sorry. I'd like to keep it as a weekly podcast for sure, and keep striving to make content and documenting content in that regard. I do and would like to make a daily podcast in the future, and it's really all about time management on my part. I'm very bad at it. So it would be great to record raw audio, just put it out there, see what comes of it. But also give it some shape and some form in the form of a long form conversation, and actually make it some good content for those of you who are driving, riding the trainer, hitting up the gym treadmill kind of thing. I know that's where a lot of you are listening to podcasts. So thank you so much for listening to them, by the way. But I would just like to make more interesting conversation documentation there, and also just be cool to pick up on it for the future. So those are all my resolutions for this podcast coming up on the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. If you've got any wishes that you'd like to see on the podcast, love to hear from you. Put them in the comments below. I'm all ears. I'd love to engage with you, the audience. So let me know what's up. So one thing that I found very interesting was in the news, in the the bike industry news world, found out that Shimano is no longer selling their product to the consumer via Chain Reaction. Now, that's going to be a bit more of a bigger topic discussion that I feel is going to warrant a round table. And I would like to get actually a customer. I would like to get a fellow staff in the bike industry that has the experience of dealing with online purchases. I would love to get the rep from Shimano in on it, but I feel it would just be too much of maybe a marketing ploy if I did, but it would be good to get their voice in on it. I think the goal of having maybe a balanced conversation might be a bit thrown out the window or a bit naive on my part. So I'm just going to hold comment and judgment on the fact that that has transpired. I will say that in the near future, Pro Bike Kit will also be effectively stop selling Shimano components directly to the consumer. It's going to revert back to your local bike shop, at least for North America. My only comment is that the fact that Shimano sort of sold it at cost to what bike shops buy it at, or even what staff purchases can be at, which is often better than what bike shops buy it at, really showed the value of how much Shimano's product is overvalued, if this all makes sense. They're say it's a $400 item, let's just say it's a crankset. So if it's a Dura-Ace crankset, it's $400, and then on Chain Reaction say they're selling it for $200, that really shows you that they are overselling it for the $200 difference there. If anything, I really feel that it sort of diluted the value of what Shimano Dura-Ace is. And I kind of feel like it actually hurt their brand, as it really did dilute a heck of a lot of the prestige of the brand, if that makes any sense. So that's my only comment at the outset. I would really like to get a roundtable discussion. If you would like to be a part of that roundtable discussion, please let me know. Or even if you're on Anchor, just download the app, all that good stuff. You can actually leave me a voice message and give me your thoughts. I would love to hear them. And I would love to feature them in a future episode, sort of detailing what that's all about and what it means to you as a consumer. Or if you're a rider or pro, amateur athlete and you're looking for sponsorship and all that good stuff, what does that move mean for you? Would love to discuss it. But in the news of Shimano, I did actually have an interesting conversation with someone who is an insider, and I won't reveal who they are so that way they don't get in trouble, and because I don't know if this is actually a media embargo, is that it was revealed that something is in the works from Shimano in the form of a one by group set for cyclocross slash gravel. The industry by and large is sort of beginning to create frames that are no longer going to be two by chain rings on the front, so the Q factor is going to change just slightly. So what that means is that manufacturer and component companies are actually beginning to adapt their group set strategies around that sort of ethos. So look forward to a new group set standard coming out from Shimano. It's going to be a one by, and whether it's going to be DI2, that's hasn't been revealed just yet, but expect something coming soon. Also, if you sort of look at the timeline of when Durace announces items, Shimano announces items, the Durace line flagship has not necessarily received, it's been 3 years actually since they released the Durace 9000 series. So do possibly look forward to an upgrade from that flagship very soon. Again, my prediction of 2020 Tokyo Olympics, and the fact that Shimano is a Japanese brand, do look forward to a new flagship standard coming in the form of a wireless or quasi-wireless. I don't know what that all means, but do expect to have not necessarily... it's still going to have a permanent battery to the point that it's either in the seat post tube or it's going to be in the handlebar junction, to that extent that the batteries are not going to be clip-on, clip-off, similar to how SRAM does their wireless system. But do expect the disappearance of junction boxes to go missing, and also the DI2 wiring harness to sort of go MIA around 2020. It's in prototype condition right now. I was watching the Tour Down Under, looking at all the tech footage, just to see if I could discern some kind of insight. And I think I've seen it. I'm not 100% sure if it is, because I've been told too that they are camouflaging it to make it look like current standard DI2. So a lot of it is going to be using dummy wires and all that fun stuff just to throw people off from snooping like I am doing. So I just thought you would maybe enjoy hearing what's all coming up from Shimano. What other thing is coming out from Shimano that I was told? Due to the whole chain reaction, no longer selling it to North America, that's going to put it back in the good graces of manufacturers, because the whole big problem was bike manufacturers were not getting group sets that they were promised for their units of bikes when they were selling them. And that created like a huge logjam for product management and a lot of upset bike brands actually at Shimano, that they were all beginning to switch to SRAM. So expect like this weird sort of possible year where a lot of products that were normally Shimano switched to SRAM, and maybe they might stay there. Expect Trek to maybe do that. But brands like Giant and such, expect them to maybe change their branding back to Shimano in a year or two's time, once this whole product management and supply chain fiasco sort of fixes itself and gets back on running on track here. So yeah, quick little tidbits from Shimano. All right, You've been so patient. Here comes the good stuff. Here comes the Q&A that the listeners of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast have sent me, the Bike Shop Boyfriend, Dustin. You sent me your questions, and here are my answers. First up is... I'm looking at getting either a cyclocross bike, a gravel bike, or an endurance bike. Which will be best? This question comes from Eric. Eric, let's kind of, to answer this question, let's work a little bit backwards slash kind of reverse engineer the intent. If you're going to go race cyclocross, then boom, get a cyclocross bike. It's a no-brainer. A lot of them do allow for bigger tire clearances, so but the geometry has a normally higher bottom bracket is the main reason for the difference here amongst all these different bikes. It'll feel like you have a slightly higher sense of gravity or center of gravity when you're riding it on tarmac and all that. When you are riding it in cyclocross, it's going to feel like the right tool for the right job. It's going to have probably a slightly more stable but yet racy sort of geometry to it, so you'll actually enjoy racing it on a cyclocross course. And the fact that it's going to have wider tire clearances is going to allow you, should you be riding it UCI legal, meaning a 33C tire width, it's going to shed mud and all that fun stuff, sand and grossness, off the bike really, really quickly, so you'll enjoy your race, hopefully. If you're looking at a gravel bike, and the reason why I don't have a cyclocross bike myself anymore is it's great to know your rides will be more endurance-based efforts, and if that's the case, the geometry is going to be set up so that way you're a touch more upright, less racy, even though you can still make the bike racy in terms of its angles. And you want to do a bit more exploration and adventure, and you're probably not going to race cyclocross. That being said, you can use a cyclocross bike as a gravel bike, by all means. Yet they're often a little bit more tight within the main triangle frame. So shouldering could be an issue. That's the big difference I find between a gravel bike and a cyclocross bike. That inner triangle area for when you throw it over the shoulder, it can sometimes really be awkward and not the best. And then the endurance geometry of an endurance bike, still a drop bar bike, is that it's a road bike. And it will allow for bigger, more mixed-use tire selection. But some of them, a lot of these brands actually that have an endurance bike in their product line, they'll actually sort of top out around the 28C to 30C tire selection, and it's just not enough daylight for tire clearance should you encounter some kind of gross mud, that slick sand kind of stuff that you can find. So I wouldn't recommend it for cyclocross, but I think you could get away with it on some gravel races or mixed surface roads. So in summary, hopefully this helped. If you know how you want to ride, pick the right bike for that purpose. One, you'll be happier, and two, you'll get more value out of the bike that you get. Hopefully that answers it. So this question comes in from Guillaume. That's French for William, if I am not mistaken. You are an older cyclist, right? Do you notice any performance drop-offs? Way to get personal here, Guillaume. Thanks. I'm feeling really old all of a sudden. Thank you. but in all seriousness, I actually don't feel that old. I think Guillaume is referring to the fact that I am currently 37 years old. And for me, and I'm speaking solely for myself, I do and I don't notice performance losses. The first performance thing I noticed the most is that food affects my body differently than when I was younger. Metabolism changes, dietary preferences, those have all changed. Getting rid of the little excess around my midsection. I'm actually gripping it right now just to really highlight the visual for you. It's a little bit more of a task than it used to be. So I do have to work on more core exercises and all that fun stuff. The second thing I've noticed is that my sprint on the bike is much less. But on the flip side, my endurance has actually increased, as well as my tempo and threshold tolerances have also increased. I know how to handle pain more. I'm okay with pain. I'm okay with crazy high heart rates and feeling okay with that. So those are all things that I'm okay with. It feels like I'm also a bit more efficient with knowing how to pace myself. And which makes and keeps me feeling fast, actually. So I don't have to rely so much on a sprint to do anything anymore. So hopefully that all makes sense. Even though I've lost the sprint, I've sort of gained other talents and traits in the meantime. That's probably due to fast twitch muscles converting into slow twitch. And a third thing to sort of round this out is also my riding priorities have changed quite a lot in the last 10 years. I'm no longer interested in racing on the road with other riders who don't know how to handle themselves in a competitive situation, especially riding in a group. And they often, especially, are nervous. They can make mistakes that can have consequences for myself. So it can make walking into the office Monday morning very much a bad day. And for sure, my interest has changed into the gravel race scene and rides that have come about. That whole exploration, just having fun of the ride, is way more appealing than road racing and seeing if I can beat the guy to the finish line. I like the fact that these gravel rides actually also have like this isolation factor that played more on my strengths as a rider, my mental fortitude. And again, it refers back to the pacing. But I'm still always interested in pursuing my performance gains. So don't get me wrong. I still like being on my trainer, getting better and all that fun stuff. It's just that I'm no longer out to road race or do crits anymore or anything like that. It's just that I've shifted to what my strengths are, and I'm really focusing and going in all in on those things. But one thing that does come with age is experience. I'm experienced at what to prioritize. So I'm also going to go all in on what I'm good at and not dwelling so much on my weaknesses. So those are all things that I've noticed in my quote drop off of performance. And those are all things that I've noticed while getting older as a cyclist. I'm actually curious as to what you might have found in years past, say like in the last 5 years, if you've noticed any kind of performance drop-offs or anything like that. If you do, let me know. Love to hear it. All right, here is another question from Steven. What bike races are you looking forward to in 2019? I guess as a bike fan, I guess this is how this is trying to be phrased. You know what? I'll answer from two different perspectives, as a fan and as a participant. For road racing, I'm actually looking forward to Wout Van Aert lining up against like Peter Sagan and the other classics riders. That's going to be really fun to see in the springtime. It'll be curious to see how he crosses over, or how crossover riders from another discipline do in another discipline, if that makes sense. And then for the Grand Tours and the nuances of tactics and storyline over a season, those are all things that I'm very excited for. The fact that it's been announced that the inclusion of Mathieu van der Poel in the Flandrian Classics will be very exciting. I really enjoy how he races, even though some people complain about that the way he races is very boring. I like to see him race. He's very exciting to watch. Plus, the races tend to show new tech, so that's always something that keeps me going. So I really enjoy that. Excuse me. For cyclocross, because the season is almost at an end, I'm very excited the fact that Zdenek Stybar is coming back. I love watching that guy ride. Hopefully he's got enough points to contend in the World Championships, and hopefully that World Championships is like the one in 2013. I highly recommend, if you can check it out on YouTube, check out the 2013 Cyclocross World Championships. It's one of the best races you'll ever see. And then on another note, for the drop dirt bar set of riders out there, I'm eager to see how Dirty Kansas goes this year. There's somewhat of a roadification happening in gravel races, in that teams are beginning to form, in that road cycling has teams that form up. And I really think that the popularity is rising, that the event is going to have some interesting things happen with it. So I'm very curious how that all goes going forward. So those are my things as a cycling fan that I'm really looking forward to seeing in 2019. And then speaking for myself, I don't know if I'm approaching any events I'm riding as a race yet. I'm going to hold myself to the standard that I'm pinning numbers onto my jersey and or affixing a number plate to my bike, and I will race my bike. It's a weird mindset thing. As soon as those numbers go on, I got to do it. Badland Gravel Battle, I've mentioned it before, is going to be a big event for me in 2019, as well as Ghost of Gravel and Kettle Metal Gravel Race for my Dirt Drop Bar program. Those are all races that I'm looking forward to participating in. For the paved road rides, my program has a lot of asterisks around it right now, of what I'm going to be doing. I love to go out to the West Coast, as I mentioned in a previous segment. There's some Grand Fondos out there as well that I would like to participate. If you have any suggestions for me so I can really pigeonhole this and really set my program, feel free to leave me a message within the Anchor app, or leave me a suggestion in the comments, or send me a DM via Instagram. This off season, I'm going to be doing a lot more Zwift events in association with the ambassadorships that I'm a part of, and I've already begun doing that. I'm having a tremendous time on Zwift. I love it. It's very fun to be distracted and trying to just catch up to the wheel of the person ahead of you. I still have no idea how I'm going to dovetail the events on Zwift with the structured training that I'm following on Trainer Road. Ideally, and I might still do this, is spend a good portion of my Mondays programming out the workouts that I see in Trainer Road and putting them in Zwift. I feel like that's a bit of double dipping, but yeah, I think that's actually how I might be approaching, so that I can get the benefit out of both. And we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that hopefully answers the question. All right, folks, I think this is going to be my last question. Yeah, let's do one more. Let's do one more. This question comes from Janessa. Hi, Janessa. Thank you for listening to the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. The question is, which YouTube or video content do I enjoy? This is actually a really good question. I do actually spend a significant amount of time enjoying YouTube content, as well as video creators. I really enjoy what they put out. I've got like the long-standing stuff, but the ones that I've really, really enjoyed lately is the EF Education First Gone Racing series that just came out this new year. Highly recommend what Harry and Stu and the rest of the crew are all doing there for RAFA and Education First Pro Cycling Team. Very engaging content. Love it. Chat Stevens is a really good long form conversation, and I hope that they make it a more regular feature, featuring Matt Stevens. And it's for Rulera magazine. And they actually have some great other content on their channel as well. I'm absolutely obsessed with Bon Appetit channel. In particular, It's Alive, with Brad Leone, or Leone? Brad Leone, hopefully. And also Maddie Matheson. As a personality and a cook, I absolutely love that content. Yeah, hopefully that answers it for you. If you have any questions, I would love to hear from it. Send them to me here at the Bike Shop Boyfriend Podcast. You can put them in the comments below. You can send them to me via DM, like these ones were, via Instagram, Dustin WHT. Again, that's Dustin WHT. I'll put the link in the description below. So if you do want to contact me there, it's also my handle on Twitter as well. So hit me up on Twitter, and also the Facebook page. You can hit that up as well. Yeah, that's going to do it for this Q&A. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Bike Shop Boyfriend Podcast. I can't thank you enough so much for listening. If you like this content, give me a rating wherever you are listening to this podcast. If you have any questions or comments, I would love to hear from you. I say it throughout my episodes. Hit me up in the comments, send me a DM. I love it. Again, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.